This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Batter up off the fair pole. Hey now, 3-run homer, Aaron Judge.
The Rich Eisen Show.
What are the Browns doing? Is it Shador now?
The expectation would be that he is going to be the one who backs up Dylan Gabriel.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, TNF analysts Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth, Falcons running back Bijan Robinson. Coming up, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer John Bon Jovi. And now, Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're on the air streaming live on Disney Plus every day. The ESPN app. You get everything ESPN everywhere, every day. And we're also on ESPN Radio Coast to Coast Live, terrestrial radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're on Sirius XM Channel 80. We're, so many live eyes and ears on us, so it's exciting every day. And so it's my pleasure to be able to say these words that I never thought growing up in my Staten Island home I'd ever be able to say. Just had a great hug it out with John Bon Jovi in our green. I mean, it's my life. You know,
right? Yeah.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's now or never.
Thank you. Come on, man. John Bon Jovi's in our green room.
We're not going to live forever.
Could we keep doing this? You want to keep doing this?
We do catch a vibe like this every now and then.
Hey, listen.
I might sleep on a bed of roses tonight.
Okay.
John Bon Jovi. Love a bad name.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm just a cowboy.
Are you Googling it now?
No, I know these.
Be honest.
He doesn't have to Google.
I'm on a steel horse I ride. It's all good.
TJ's good at music, man.
Wow. Right. At any rate, the point I'm trying to make is I'm friends with John Bon Jovi.
Excellent. He doesn't want to run away either.
Oh, God. Stop
By
it.
By the way, Jersey Bon Jovi concerts as a kid, there's nothing like the Meadowlands.
Or even as an adult.
I'm just saying, as a kid, sure. Rich.
Okay.
Those things were unbelievable. They were unbelievable.
Well, John Bon Jovi here is about to make Mike Del Tufo the second most important Jersey person in the room when he comes out here shortly. All due respect.
That's the story of my life, Mike.
Okay. Oh, God. This guy.
Thanks.
Now you're like Michael Keaton quoting TLC's songs. All right. Listen. Big game in New Jersey Thursday night.
Yeah.
We talked about it with Fitz and Witt in hour number 2 because they were on their way on a bus to Philadelphia to join hook up with the Eagles before going to New Jersey and being part of the week 6 kickoff between the Eagles and the Giants. The Eagles, stop me if you've heard this before, early season conversations about their efficiency, about their locker room, about their chemistry, despite having a winning record. Last year, they were 2-2. And then they won their next game and then went up the turnpike with Saquon and just pounded the Giants. And it all went north from there. And Saquon had his revenge. And then his 2,000-yard season ensued in the championship, et cetera, et cetera. Now they're 4-1. And it's the same conversation. Is A.J. Brown going to get the ball? What's going on in that locker room? And at the top of the ESPN news stack when we came on the air, it was the meeting. It was about the meeting that Saquon and Hurts had with A.J. Brown. I have no idea if it was just the three of them chit-chatting somewhere in the locker room, all three of them sitting together, or if they were around a water cooler or they're, you know, in a calf or whatever it was. But it's been reported there's a meeting, and Saquon called it a good thing. It took place Monday. Called it a good thing. And that it was not a traditional players-only meeting where, quote, all hell's breaking loose. Well, I guess you're not listening to radio there, I guess. I felt that conversation was meant to stay between us, he said, but the focus was all about the team, and I think it was a good thing. I would definitely say it wasn't like a players' meeting where all hell's breaking loose.
Hmm. Okay. You think Saquon told the guys, I'll be there for you?
Oh, my God. Jalen Hurts spoke In his Wednesday media availability, in his usual way of not giving away too much, and definitely not quoting any John Bon Jovi songs.
That was good, TJ. You don't know that. That was really good.
I mean, listen to the soundbite. Tell me if you hear it.
That's just us talking about the collective, talking about taking ownership for what we can, and talking about how we move forward as a team so we continue to find ways to win games.
What was your takeaway and conclusion of the meeting?
I don't want to make this about that, right? We got a short week. We got a, the division opponent coming in here. I enjoyed every second of it, and I'm enjoying every second of every opportunity we have to improve. And so that's what I've always made it about. That's what I'll continue to make it about. It's truly about the collective and what we do and the opportunities we have in front of us. And so everybody in this building just wants to take advantage of that.
Jalen gives you nothing, man.
I love the way he speaks, too, because too. You can really tell that he's living on a prayer every single day.
Listen, he is perfect for Philadelphia, as long as he wins. I guess you could say that about any quarterback. Because he gives you nothing.
No.
Yeah. And he talks in platitudes and about the team. And if you start losing, fans want concrete answers, you know, like Tom Cruise having Nicholson on the stand.
I want the truth.
You know, and he will always take the air out of it and put the velvet ropes around their team, even if the iceberg is a massive one underneath the surface.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
Well, the honest truth is they're 4-1, man.
Yeah.
But if there is still an inkling of a rift, a little crack in the ice, last week, as you know, Denver wanted to just make it a much larger crack in the ice. And having Patrick Surtain II travel with A.J. Brown kind of helped with that. One would think if they're now even more frustrated that they lost. Getting bageled in the fourth quarter while the Broncos scored 18 to win it. And if you're, say, the head coach of a team that's, let me just give you some examples, 1-4, with a rookie quarterback making his first ever short week nationally televised start, and you just lost a game where the team that beat you came up with its first win of the season. And part of the reason why you lost was because you turned the ball over, let's just say, 5 straight possessions. If you're a coach of that team and you're able to potentially pull the pin on something and lob it down a turnpike in the most passive-aggressive way possible.
That's good.
Maybe you do that. Just listen to this Brian Daboll soundbite. Now, I don't know if he's playing four-dimensional chess, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because just listen to the way he's describing the Eagles' offense as they're getting set to come into their building on Thursday night.
Yeah, you watch all the games, and you watch him when he's out there get open, big, strong, fast, has good hands, can run any route you want him to run. I'm sure they can throw him the ball as many times as they want. That means Saquon doesn't get it, or give it to Saquon, and A.J. doesn't get it. There's one ball. They're all really good players. Smitty, I mean, I've been around Smitty. I think he's an exceptional receiver, too. So I'm sure whatever they want to do or think they need to do, that's what they'll do. You have to watch the tape. A.J.'s open a lot. But you have to Saquon, he's got productive yards. You run a zone read or throw it to Smitty, there's another thing. There's a lot of weapons, I would say, on that offense. And whatever they choose to do is what they do.
Is a chef's kiss.
It's really good.
If that is what I really think it is. Hey, man, look at the tape.
I mean,
he's wide open. He's
big, strong, physical.
Well, why wouldn't they throw it to me? He's so wide open. Oh, you're telling me they're having issues on offense? Because I'm seeing a guy who's wide open. Wait a minute. He sent out a proverb about basically staying patient if you don't get your way or you're not being listened to. That guy, really? Because I see a guy. He's wide open. Oh, by the way, and they got another guy?
Not so many.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want. Yeah. Oh, and they got Saquon. Oh, he only had 6 carries last week? Get out of here.
You don't say.
Tell me it didn't sound like that. Oh, boy.
I believe him, man.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah, boy.
You know why?
No choice. Why?
Because, no, like, stop John it. Bon
I don't
Jovi,
even care what you have to say.
He would never lie to me.
All right. Okay. Now he's looking it up, and it's enough. And by the way, the Giants named three players out for the game. One of them not named Tyrone Tracy Jr. Yeah, he is back. So, I mean, talk about fantasy conundrums for this week. Do you play him? What about Scadaboo? What does that mean? It's you got Terry season. McLaurin, by the way, on a Monday night. Who knows if he's going to go?
Yep.
A lot of NFC East fantasy conundrums. But, you know, I mean, again, if I'm the Eagles, what an embarrassment of riches. You got one guy who wants the ball more, who's wide open.
Wide open.
You got another guy who can run down your throat who got just six carries last week. And then you got another guy, Smitty.
I've been around Smitty.
By the way, him. You know, he calls him Smitty because he was standing on the sideline when Tua found Smitty for a national championship victory. Oh. Again.
Smitty won the Heisman.
And again, I mean, Jalen Hurts, he's so good, I don't even know why he was benched.
The only person he didn't mention was Big Don.
Brian Daboll, man. Dumb, right? As passive-aggressive as they come, that's impressive. So I see a guy who's wide open. I don't know why he's complaining about not getting the ball. Fantastic.
I could keep going, but you told
no,
me to stop.
No, I want you to stop, please, because we've got the genuine article coming out.
I'm just misunderstood over here.
And I have a Week 6 power rankings presented by Sonos.
Here we go.
This is mine.
Power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
My week 6 power rankings presented by Sonos. I've got not one, not two, but three fresh teams on the list.
Cowboys, yes.
And one of them I can't quit.
Uh-oh.
I can't quit the Los Angeles Rams. They are 10th. On this list, down 6 full spots at 3-2. Can't quit him. Won't quit him. Just protect for your kicker, please. And when Cardi, when it's protected, can you make the freaking field goals? Extra points. Can we do this? Can we not? Can we land it in the landing area?
Seems like, one job.
Seems like those are reasons to not have the Rams on this list.
I know both running backs fumbled last week, too.
Yeah, that happened.
They're still as stout as a team there is in the National Football League. I'm not quitting them, and I think they're going to go to the Ravens and have a day before I see them in London against the Jaguars. By the way, nice game that is shaping up to be in Week 7 on NFL Network from London. Number 9 on the list is a team that knocked them down 6 pegs. I've put the 49ers on this list.
Oh,
you
finally.
Are what you are.
Finally.
What you are is a 4-1 team that's resilient enough to have a 3-0 backup quarterback and Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan coaching his you-know-what off and Christian McCaffrey being as good as ever. And if it's not Juwan Jennings, here's Kendrick Bourne. And if it's not Kittle, here's Jake Tongis, everyone. And if it's not Nick Bosa, it's name some new fresh face that you can't name without looking at their nameplate. And there's still Fred Warner.
Yeah.
And there's the 4-1 San Francisco 49ers, 9th on my list. And number 8 is the only team that put a 1 in the Niners loss column. I am putting the Jacksonville Jaguars on this list at 4-1. They are leading the league in takeaways. They are taking advantage of your mistakes. And if the offense can start matching the defense in terms of efficiency and in terms of going for the jugular, this team is a load. And they're 4-1. And they have a piece of the AFC South. And I have them 8th on my list. New to the list, also number 7, a team that I'm seeing in London on Sunday, and a team that just beat the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm putting the Denver Broncos at 7. They are 3-2. They have a piece of the division. And right now, based on the way the Chargers look all banged up, based on the fact that the Chiefs are 2-3, and the fact that the Raiders are 1-4, this is now your new, entering Week 6, favorite to win the division. I'll just throw that out there. Bo Nix can start getting some more points on the board for this defense that is terrorizing everybody that they face. And now here come the Jets at 0-5 on their schedule in Tottenham. I'll be calling this game on NFL Network on Sunday morning in the glorious 4 windows of football. Number 6 on the list, staying like before.
Stays like before.
As a matter of fact, the only team that has not moved on my power rankings.
Good.
I'm still keeping the Packers here at 2-1-1. Still keeping them here. I know they're like a hockey team. They're winless in their last three with a loss, tie, and a bye. They haven't won a game in a month unless they win this game coming up against Joe Flacco and the Bengals in their house.
Flacco.
So I still think the Packers are one of the best teams in football despite their loss, tie, bye last 3 weeks in the NFL. Now to my top five. Cracking the top five for the first time, up four spots, the Indianapolis Colts are sitting there at five.
Ooh.
Yes, sir. They are destroying everybody. They won another one by more than 20 points. Three of their four wins have come by 20 points or more. Daniel Jones has been locked in and loaded with a running attack that Jonathan Taylor is crushing with his second performance of three or more touchdowns. He's the only guy in the league with one. He now has two. And the Colts have cracked the top five. Moving up one spot are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 4-1. They are now as high as I've put them on my list all season long. That win in Seattle was spectacular. Baker Mayfield is playing like an MVP. And you heard earlier in hour number one, I mentioned Emeka Abuka as being the clear front runner for offensive rookie of the year. Kurt Warner said he could be an offensive player of the year, the way that he's seeing him on tape and show up in the stat column. That's number four. Down one spot, I'm keeping the Bills above the Bucks for the moment. Obviously, these can change. Certainly when Tampa goes and visits Buffalo in week 11, and certainly with the results that could or could not happen between them as my 4-9 teams, Bucks and Niners, play each other this weekend. I'm keeping the Bills at three. I'm knocking the Eagles down just one spot. I'm not buying the fact that they're in trouble and the locker room's ripping at each other's throats. They play the Giants twice in the next 3 weeks. They should have some good eats there. The Philadelphia Eagles, in between that, go and visit Minnesota, which looks like they're going to start maybe Carson Wentz in that game. They should take care of business over the next 3 weeks and have some get-right games before their big, meaty part of the schedule. And my new number one team atop the power rankings through 5 weeks are the Detroit Lions, who are on a four-game winning streak and eviscerating everybody in their path. And they beat the Ravens in a tight one when the Ravens were all fully loaded and healthy. The way that Dan Campbell is coaching, the way that the assistant coaches are coordinating, the way that Goff is playing, the way that Knuckles and Sonic are running, the way that Amon-Ra St. Brown is doing his thing, and Aiden Hutchinson is leading the way on defense. The Lions are my top team entering week six atop my power rankings presented by Sonos. The Chargers and the Seahawks and the Steelers were on the list. They're now off, and the Steelers might be like, what do you want from me? I didn't do anything this week. But it's just maybe recency bias. The Chargers are 3-2, and so are the Seahawks. I've toyed with keeping the Seahawks on the list, but I think the Rams are still a better team than them. They haven't played each other yet. And the reason why the Chargers are off is not just because they've lost two in a row. They're down at running backs 3-4 and tackles 4-5. I need to see how they're going to fare in Miami before I pop them back on the list. And those are my power rankings brought to you by Sonos. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos products look as good as they sound. I pause for comments before we bring out our Jersey Lord and Savior.
Well, obviously no Patriots. Seahawks, I could have bought a number 10. And an interesting nugget, since September 3rd, Green Bay has been sixth four times.
I got it. So I appreciate you focusing on that. Who do you take off for the Patriots?
Ooh.
Who do you take off?
The Rams.
Okay.
I think the Jags are a little low.
Jags a little low, too.
You put them above who?
Packers. If we're talking about what the team hasn't won a game in a month, right. You're saying?
Like, I would buy Green Bay at eight and then Jacksonville at Denver up a spot.
Okay.
And I'd probably put Tampa ahead of Buffalo.
Okay, that's why you guys don't do power rankings, man.
Well, we did.
Well, we did, but you took
it away from us.
Yeah. And I had Dallas at 11, but you know, that's just me.
New England does not play the Rams, so you will not have to eat that very shortly.
Well, in the Super Bowl, probably.
Got it. This guy over there.
They are back.
Okay, and so is John Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
He has been here before,
Let's
and
go.
Now he is back. Let us bring out the GOATs from our green room.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Our radio audience just returned here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance and also SiriusXM, part of our Disney Plus and ESPN app live stream. Talking to Jon Bon Jovi here on the program. We just talked about the current state of the Patriots.
Yeah.
But let me just go back old school. Do you got your favorite Parcells story, Bill Parcells, when you said you were in an old Giants stadium, right? Following this team and in the locker room with them celebrating the championship. Yeah. In 1990.
I can remember the first time that I was allowed.
Yes.
And you got to think this is 1989 in September, October. And Sean Landetta, the old punter, number five, got me an invitation to come to practice. And at those days, it wasn't open to the public. It was in the parking lot of Giants Stadium. And George Young, the GM, is there, and they're looking at this guy pull up in a red Ferrari, long hair down, who's, you know, past his shoulders. I get out of my Ferrari, and I go into practice. First thing Parcells does is yell at me. Now, A, I'm from Jersey, so I'm used to being yelled at. But B, I went, he's my Pop Warner coach. I get it. And so we hit it off immediately. And because I earned the respect of he and then a young guy named Belichick and a young guy named Charlie Weiss, I was allowed to come back a second time, a third time, a fourth time. But he always would, you know, basically yell at me, but with a wink and a nod.
What was he yelling with you about, just in general?
Get the hell out of the way, you know? I was out shagging punts. When they were in New England, literally on the field shagging punts in blue jeans and boots, and him, you know, screaming at me like he's dad. But I used to try to get away with murder, and by that point, I almost could.
Because of who you are in New Jersey.
I just, you know, I earned that respect of staying out of the way and never, you know, knowing that to ask the follow-up question.
Yes.
And knowing when to shut up and when to not shut up. You know, so I literally was lucky enough to hang out with them a lot when I was young.
I'll just share with you my favorite Parcells story in the 20 plus years that I heard with NFL Network.
Yeah.
Paul Tagliabue told me this story. I've told this story many times here, so these guys have heard it. They've heard all my stories, but like we're old married couples here. That Tagliabue went to a Jets practice, standing at midfield, and the Jets defensive line group was going through goal line drills on the goal line 50 yards away, and Parcells was tearing them all a new one from midfield.
Got it.
And Tagliabue at one point says, Bill, you and I are the same age. I can't see 10 yards down the field. How can you see 50 yards down the field to start, you know, ripping these guys? And he says, oh, I can't see anything. And he pulls out a list of names. He goes, I got 10 guys I was going to get on in practice today. I'm on three. Stick around. I got seven more to go.
Sounds perfect. That would be him. Yeah.
So you were one of the guys he was yelling at?
Absolutely. I was the mascot. Now, you know, I was one of one. Okay. So I got yelled at whenever I was around.
I bet. How did you get hooked up with Jaworski for Arena League stuff?
When
back
I
in the
was
day?
Looking. To get into football.
Sure.
And the arena opportunity came up. There was a guy that was my age named Craig Spencer, and he and I co-owned the team.
Right.
So he was rooted in Philadelphia, and I would drive down from Jersey. He knew Jaworski, who we then hired to be our president.
Okay.
And so, you know, Craig and I owned the team. Ron worked for the team. We needed football expertise. What did I know about running a football team, even an arena team?
Sure.
But we made it a very successful venture for the time that I was in it. And, you know, we won an Arena Bowl championship, and it was cool. And then, you know, from there, I went on.
Yeah, you went on. And so you're a diehard football fan. So you root for the Giants, the Patriots?
Yeah,
and
I will never root against the Giants.
Okay. Or
I'll never root against the Eagles.
So what are you doing Thursday night, man?
Yeah, I'm staying out of it. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, I'm staying out of it. But I'm happy for the Eagles. And the Giants, I hope, are turning things around. You know, I miss the old Giants, but it's a classic organization who have been there forever, and I'll never say a bad word about
it. Did you ever play it in high school?
By high school, I was done. I was too small. I played Pop Warner junior high, but then I was done.
Yeah, because New Jersey is a massive football state.
It's
turning
out
stars after stars after
stars.
I mean,
it's not Texas or California or Florida, but it's better now.
Right.
My high school never won a game when I was there. Never, 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 never.
What high school was it?
Sayreville High School. They never won a game when I was there. Then they turned things around many, many years later. But when I was there,
I mean, I'm across for the Outer Bridge in Staten Island from Sayreville, New Jersey. There was,
you knew it.
It was the first ever multi-theater
movie plex I've ever seen
in my entire life. I think I saw five James Bond movies over 10 years going down to Sayreville, New Jersey to see in that movie. I've never seen it in my entire life.
Well, come down there now. You'll see the John Bon Jovi rest stop in the high school.
Do you have a rest stop on the turnpike?
Yeah, right there. That one.
No, on a parkway.
The one in Sayreville.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Do you have any say on what's in this rest stop? I mean, this is big time. You and Admiral Halsey, man, have rest stops.
No, the state did it, but it's cool. You know, it's funny because millions of people go by it, you know, every day.
We do other stuff there too.
Milepost 124.
Yeah. There you go,
ladies and gentlemen. If you're ever at Milepost 124 in New Jersey, you know, a rest of some sort,
pretzel, hamburger, T-shirt.
All right, so this Forever Legendary Edition available everywhere you get your music. Friday, October 24th. I know you were talking about how I can't refer to you as the King of New Jersey.
No, Crown Prince.
Okay, because the King of New Jersey you're saying is Springsteen.
Bruce, absolutely,
and he's on this collaboration on this album. Is. What is that like when you and Bruce are together recording?
Oh, it's awesome. He's a dear friend. He was my childhood hero. He's been like a big brother to me, really, my whole career. And in the case of this record is, you know, I came to visit you a year ago and put this record out with the anticipation that I was healed. And everyone that knows that I had this throat surgery. And I wasn't up to my standard. I just wasn't up to my standard. So there wasn't a tour. But I loved the album and it was received so well that I called friends and I said, listen, this record deserves a second chance. And I asked whether it was Bruce to Jelly Roll to young to old, country to rock to, you know, girls and guys to sing a verse, do a features record, if you will. And I wrote a couple of new songs. One is, which is called Red, White, and Jersey, a new single. And so we're re-releasing the record and great songs are even betterer with these collaborations. And, you know, having Bruce sing with me officially for the first time on a song called Hollow Man, it's been received very well. And, you know, it's cool. It's just a way to re-release the record, tell the world that I'm healthy finally, and get back to work.
Well, first of all, great to hear that.
Yeah,
great to see you. You look awesome and you sound great. And when did you first meet Bruce Springsteen?
When did that happen? In the latter 70s. The first time I was in a cover band, it's like 1978, we're playing a lot of R&B. We were sort of like the Muppets version of the Asbury Jukes. I had five horn players. I was underage. I was playing in the bars. I'm 17 years old.
Yeah.
And one night, having, you know, known that he's always been around, I turn around at my own microphone on the stage and boom, he's on stage with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we sang together. So the next day when I go back to high school, I'm telling the teacher, you know, what you do last night? Well, I watched Dallas. What did you do last night? I was singing with Bruce down in Asbury. So,
nice.
Because, you know, the Jukes and the E Street Band were all from there, and chances were that they were in the bars when you were.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good fortune for me to have your heroes be so close.
And so when you said he's been a big brother to you, what do you mean by that?
I mean, throughout my career, you know, we always looked up to the E Street Band and the Asbury Jukes. Johnny produced some of my very first demos. You know, like I say, I've known Bruce since I'm in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were always, you know, thumbs up, wink and a nod, you know, have the occasional burger together. But as I got older and we got older, it's in that documentary. Like we go take these 100-mile drives where we just, no radio, no phones, nobody. And we just, now we can talk like two older, wiser men who have been around the block a few times, you know, and somebody needs somebody to talk to every once in a while, including even him, you know.
So you're just where you leave, you're incommunicado, mm-hmm. you're on the road,
mm-hmm.
and just talking about life, you and Bruce Springsteen,
yeah.
on the road. Does he have a rest stop?
He does not.
Damn straight he doesn't. Who's the king now? Do you drive him past your rest stop?
Yeah, no, we have. I don't know that I have.
Ah, that would be great.
But
what
it's
a flex.
Pretty funny, right?
You know, there's Bruce, a flex. You got a lot.
Got to pee? Come on.
If we waited for your rest stop, you'd have to hold it in. Well, that must be so cool. I mean, honestly, this is just one of the many
kind of cool stories, you know, hanging out with he or Southside throughout my life. And it's all true. And he says the same thing. I mean, it's for the first, I don't know, five times, you'd wish a cop would pull you over. Because you want to roll down the window and go, hey, how you doing? Yeah. But there have been times now over the years where we have pulled into a place and, you know, gone somewhere, and it's funny. And it's funny. It's funny.
Well, finish it up. I know you I know
we've
sound
done
like
everything
you're,
from the, going to, we went to a flea market. I mean, we pulled into a flea market.
You and Bruce Springsteen, yeah. Going to a flea market.
Just walk through the aisles of the flea market. You know, we go to an ice cream parlor, pull in to get a water somewhere, especially during the early stages of my throat surgery where mm-hmm. he had to do all the talking. I remember we pulled into a liquor store to just pick up some waters, you know,
right. uh-huh.
keep my whistle wet.
Right.
And a guy went in this store and I'm sitting in the car. And the guy comes running out of the store, because now I realize, sitting in the passenger seat, that he realizes that Bruce is in the store.
Yeah.
And he goes running back in with a pen, and I'm chuckling in the car watching. Mm-hmm. And then the guy gets his autograph, and now he's walking back to his car. And he just glances over his shoulder at what he realizes is Bruce's car and sees me in the passenger seat, loses his mind, you know? So it was like funny things like that. Or there was a day, I remember there was a guy with a VFW, like one of the good old collections on a Saturday afternoon where you're sitting at a stoplight and the guy has a bucket and he wants change, you sure. know, for the VFW. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I happened on this day to have a dollar in my pocket, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And roll down my window and I give the guy the couple bucks. And he leans down to, you know, in this little car to look in to say, hey, thanks, mister. And he sees it's me. But then he looks over to the passenger seat and sees it's me and Bruce. And this guy older than me is running down the street to go and tell the other guys on the bucket brigade that we're going. And, you know, it's just that kind of goofy Jersey stories that we have.
Have you ever been at, say, like a wedding and or something or anything? You've been in a bar. Somebody's karaokeing your song or something like that. And that must happen, right? And
yeah, there's a famous embarrassing YouTube thing at Charlie Weiss's son's wedding.
Okay.
When the trumpet player starts playing the bass line of Living on a Prayer and I'm going, oh, here it comes. And I got to get up with the wedding band and sing.
Oh, you fell. Oh,
I had to. It was Charlie Jr.'s wedding. You know, I had to do it. But, you know, that's because I love the Weiss family. Believe me, it wasn't because...
Well, has there ever been a moment where you heard somebody butchering your song so badly?
Yeah, it was that day with the trumpet player. Yeah, it wasn't my favorite was version. Okay. That's just, my love of Charlie.
Just for your own brand, you had to just stop it and
that's
take
my
over.
Love of the Weiss family. So there you go.
Oh my gosh, that is outstanding.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Soul Kitchen, please. The John Bon Jovi Soul Kitchen. Please tell me about that.
Our charitable foundation has built affordable housing since the days of my running the arena football team.
Sure.
The way that I was going to ingratiate ourselves to the community in Philadelphia was to try to be as philanthropic as the Big Four.
Mm-hmm.
We started with affordable housing, and then in the economic downturn of 08, my wife, Dorothea, conceptualized what became the Soul Kitchen.
Yes.
There's no prices on the menu. It's a beautiful farm-to-table restaurant. You'd never know the difference between somebody who can and cannot afford to pay. There is a suggested donation. So if Rich Eisen walks in and puts down $30 on, I don't know, $20 on the table, it covers your meal and the price of somebody else's meal.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in and you volunteer,
mm-hmm.
you are immediately empowered and you've earned your meal. So if a 12-year-old boy comes in and says, I want to earn my meal, we're giving him a certificate to bring his whole family back. And we feed him a beautiful farm-to-table, you know, there's no soda pop or ice cream in this, right? You know, it's good and good for you. No government subsidies. And so the shortfall is covered by the foundation. If you want to donate and affect change, it happens. And then we started this flagship in Red Bank some 12, 13, 14 years ago. The second one came after Hurricane Sandy, when we realized that service providing was key. So people who need more volunteer opportunities, we have a food pantry, a food bank, a culinary program, and help with your social services.
Yes.
Now, here's the kicker. And I learned this when my eldest son went to Notre Dame. Schools, colleges, universities, there's kids on university campuses that are having a hard time making ends meet with food. And so we went to Rutgers University in Newark and explained to the chancellor that your food pantry is full. We should put a Soul Kitchen here
mm-hmm.
for the kids who are, you know, in need of food. So then Rutgers, Newark, Jersey City University, and so we have four of them now. And they're there to feed people and, you know, those in need, and also to empower those who come and need to eat because they've earned their meal.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it really works.
Yeah, for more information, go to jbjsf.org. Red Bank's an awesome town. My parents retired to Marlboro, so it's right down the street.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Route 9,
yeah.
I think that's something like that. I'm trying to figure that out for it's been a while.
Yeah, 9 and 35.
And,
yep.
You know, and I'm just so jacked that you come here as often as you have. You got a Super Bowl prediction before I leave you.
No,
you leave
because everything's already topsy-turvy. You would have thought that the Eagles were invincible. You would have thought that KC was invincible. You thought Baltimore had a great shot this year.
Right.
So, I mean, does Buffalo have it or not after last week? Who knows? Anything can happen.
Right. And the Lions and the Bucks look pretty darn good.
I loved the Lions last season. Who didn't fall in love with the Lions last season?
Hey, man. And when you were first, you know, as you said, tucking your hair under your hat, hanging out with the Giants and Parcells,
yeah.
Lions and Bucks being two of the best teams in the NFC are like, good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
You know what I mean?
It's that's why we all love the NFL so much.
Yeah. I think you were in the locker room of the Big Sombrero in Tampa.
Yeah,
that's where Super Bowl took place.
That's where it was. Yeah, that was the first Gulf War. Whitney Houston singing the national anthem. It was a hell of a day.
Right,
hell of a day.
Have you ever had a stage offered a stage like that or wanted to the Super Bowl?
Yes,
sir, sir.
They one crazy year that Tampa Bay beat Oakland.
Yes,
they created what was supposed to be some big deal when "It's My Life" is out. It's a monster song,
right.
And they say, "No, we're going to create like the second Super Bowl. It's going to be right after the whistle blows and you play at the trophy ceremony." So I technically did that.
Okay.
It sucked. Well, because the game is over.
Right.
You know, so we were like, okay, instead of being one of five acts in that halftime show,
right,
you'll be featured right when the whistle blows and they're giving the trophy away. And we played in the end zone. It's like the game was over. So, no, since then, I hadn't had the opportunity and we passed on it once. And so, no, it didn't work out for us.
Well,
but that's cool.
Well, I mean,
I don't mind.
You're a fan, and you probably like going as a fan. You know what I mean?
I love it. You know, I love it. Absolutely.
At John Bon Jovi, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, jbjsf.org to find out more about the John Bon Jovi Soul Kitchen. Thank you. Good night. The Bon Jovi story is available on Hulu right now, but don't go there just yet because we're not done with this interview. And in the new album, Forever Legendary Edition, hits wherever you get your music on Friday, October 24th. You are the man, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for coming back. Awesome to have you anytime.
Thanks,
obviously.
Rich.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Bon Jovi here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back to wrap it in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. Quote today at progressivecommercial.com. Jimmy in San Antonio, let's take this phone call. What's up, Jimmy? Fun show, capped by Jimmy. What's up, Jimmy?
Hermanos.
Hola, muchachos. Jimmy, I would think you'd hold your powder for tomorrow.
Well, when those five words, I swear to you.
What?
I had to slip in there.
Yes.
What are the five words?
It's a Bon Jovi song.
Yeah. I thought you meant Susie Schuster is guest hosting, which I know is for five of your favorite words, Jimmy. So I know that.
Okay. All right. I have to be very honest. I had three quick points before I get to Wendy.
Okay.
And the first one was, hey, happy 11th anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Appreciate it.
Okay, great. That's cool. All right, on to number two. Charlie Sheen, last week, quote of the year. Mm. When asked to autograph Del Tufo's block phone that Michael Douglas signed, Charlie said, and I quote, "I would be insulted if I wasn't asked to do that."
That's true. Yeah, because Michael Douglas he signed it, Money Does Sleep,
which
is what
great.
He signed it right in front of Del Tufo right now. I could see it from
and
here.
And then the third one was, and I parsed this out, TJ. I didn't do them in a row. I parsed them out.
I love how he listens. You. Yes.
I was going to tell you to have a safe trip, and I honestly thought Tommy P was coming in not Susie.
Susie's doing tomorrow. Yeah. Tom is doing Friday. I'm doing the first hour Monday from our London set, which is where I'll be doing the Thursday and Friday show with the crew. And then Tommy P's doing Tuesday and Wednesday. That's the way it's working.
Tommy P with that new hair. His new hair is so high. climbers are being rescued from it.
That's right.
My God.
Yeah, the Pompadour is flowing. Yeah, you guys are going to be able to, you
know, really see that in person. Yeah,
see how it works in person.
Tom Everest. Yeah.
Okay, so here's to Wemby and the Spurs that are on NBA TV tonight. By the way,
okay.
Wemby is not the player to watch. Dylan Harper,
yes,
our third rookie of the year in a row. It's going to happen. Okay. He is legit. That A1 or AI 35 thing going through our universe right now, solar system, they just have season tickets to come see Wemby, Harper, and Castle. Okay. This team is young and stacked.
Okay.
You see, Wemby got a measure that's 7'5".
Yeah, Wemby grew 2 inches.
No, he didn't.
From last year.
Well, when you're hanging out with all these monks and getting enlightened, you can only get taller.
And he looks like he's put on some muscle.
Tell me he's had a growth spurt. That's nuts.
Growth spurt. Dude, 7'5". How many pounds did he say he put on?
He looks
pounds,
great. Baby.
He's up to about 205
pounds, baby.
Now.
Pounds.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Jimmy in San Antonio. Call back. Suze will be looking forward to your call tomorrow. Suze loves phone calls. Yeah, and by the way, something you guys can talk about on Thursday's show with her guest, I believe, top of hour two or in hour two, Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah. All right now.
We'll be on with Suze.
I'm not going to know.
That's how it's working on Thursday. It's funny. Felly is in here because I guess he's heading to London. He walked in. He goes, "Was that John Bon Jovi?"
Yeah,
he's walking out. Bon Jovi's walking out. Felly's walking in. Like, oh, hey. And he comes in. He goes, "Was that John Bon Jovi?"
That was fantastic.
That's what happens
when
you're here.
Cool.
That's what happens when you work on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. I like that. Wait a minute. By the way, what's the one? I know you, and you know me. What's the one thing you're thinking about when you're watching, when you're looking at John Bon Jovi?
Well, it's the hair.
No doubt.
I mean, it's...
Oh, my God. I'm like sitting there. I'm like, could you imagine?
My God.
Chris, could you imagine?
No. You know, sometimes...
Could you imagine?
No,
I couldn't imagine having that hair.
I don't know if you're like this. Do you have dreams that you have hair?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
No, you guys do, really?
I do.
You guys have dreams?
And then I wake up and I'm like, ah!
I have dreams. Of course I do.
You guys have dreams that you have hair.
I have hair dreams. Yeah.
I have dreams that I have hair. And I'm still working at the Staten Island Advance, getting reamed out by the editor.
I don't have those.
I have those. I have work dreams, and I'm still there, and my job is in jeopardy. Then I wake up.
I hope tonight I have a dream I'm in the back seat while Bruce Springsteen and John Bon Jovi are driving around.
That's a show.
What a story that is.
That is a show.
That's a show.
He was being humble. Like, you know, we've been out together and, you know, things... And I'm like, finish the story. Yeah. Like, and he's trying to be humble, but you're Bon Jovi, and that's Bruce Springsteen, and that's your life. Yes. You know what I mean?
Like, legitimately.
That's your life.
Could you imagine they walked in the place to get, and you're sitting there
just at the gas station, like, buying some corn nuts, and you're like, Bruce.
And you're like, I just got Bruce Springsteen's autograph, and you're ready to tell people, is that Bon Jovi riding shotgun?
Exactly.
Wait a minute. Let me get my pen again.
Yeah.
The hell's going on?
The hell's going on? All right, can't wait to come back here in studio. When I come back from London, the Yankees will be deep into the American League Championship Series. That'll be great. What are you laughing? I don't know what's so funny. I don't know what's so... Am I a clown? Do I need you?
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney+, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.